Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Players coming off of this weekend there with the voice. I can't stand my voice, Zoni. I don't know about you.
I think everyone hates the sound of their own voice. Maybe some people in the radio, this radio station don't. But, We won't get into that.
Shots fired.
Yeah, I wonder if these shots can go a number of different ways.
You guys got to guess.
No, I'm not going to guess nothing. My name is Bennett. I'm not in it.
By the way, the North Star is called Polaris.
I'm trying to be drama-free in 2025 at all costs. New slate, new me. Positive mindset. Well, positive mind frame.
I think our star, our rising star, is Sam Gordon. He's on the line right now, Bonte Hill.
Is he a rising star or is he already a star? You know, I saw Sam Gordon. He was walking. I was driving up to Chase Center and he was walking into the media session. And the way he has a bounce in his step, He had the AirPods in. I wanted to honk at him, but he had the fresh cut. I think he had some dunks on. And I'm like, damn, Sam, look at him with the swagger. I'm not talking about Sam Lubbin. I'm talking about Sam Gordon from The Chronicle, who joins us on the River Islands guest line, and all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Is it a time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? Sam, Happy New Year. Good morning, brother.
Hey, good morning, Bronte. Happy New Year. How you doing? Happy Friday, too.
Happy Friday. Got to say good morning to my man Spadoni. He's over here. Spadoni's trying to stir the pot on some trades here, which we'll get to in just a second. But let's get to the game. Last night, the Warriors go wire to wire in a victory over the Sixers, and they needed it. They went 22 straight games, I think, without shooting 50% from the floor. It was much needed. And again, the rise of JK, but we have to start with Steph Curry. 8-for-8, 10 assists. The demise of Stephen Curry has been a little premature. It's a little premature out there, but it was good to see Steph have a throwback night last night, Sam.
Absolute masterclass. I mean, like you said, throwback night, 8-of-8. From three-point range, the 10 assists, dimes, too. I mean, dimes. He had a cross-court skip pass, I believe it was, to Andrew Wiggins in the weak side corner, one-handed skip pass, you know, catch and shoot, three, cash. Chase Center was on fire. But the Warriors, and Steph talked about this after the game at length, the Warriors found their pace and they found their passing, their ball movement and their rhythm, and they were able to find their pace and their passing because they were able to string together stops. I mean, they weren't having to take the ball out of the net every single time. You know, we've been wondering why haven't the Warriors been able to sustain their pace? This is a team that needs to play with pace. We know this when there's, you know, a little bit of clunkiness in the half court, like there has been for sustained stretches this year. The way to unlock that is to play fast. So you're not playing against set defenses. So you're creating catch and shoot opportunities, passing lanes, cutting lanes are open. And the Warriors did that, and they weren't having to take the ball out of the net every single time down the floor. They get up and down, they get open looks, and you know, next thing you know, Stephen Curry is stepping into clean looks from three and getting his swag on and having fun playing basketball. And that fun that he had last night, the joy that he played with, was contagious up and down the roster. I think you sense that confidence emanating through him, through the rest of his teammates as well. They go 22 of 39 from three as a collective. They shoot 61%. Curry, you know, one three-point shot away from tying the single-game record for most threes without a miss. And all around, a spectacular night, like you said, for the Warriors at Chase Center. And just, you know, a vintage performance with all the showmanship, with all the frills and showmanship that we've seen from Steph Curry the last 16 years. The vibes, the energy, the mood at Chase Center was a spectacular one for a team that, you know, again, had been, you know, one of the worst offensive teams in the NBA for a sustained stretch. So their leader answered the call, and everybody else, you know, kind of followed with the way he was playing, the energy he was playing with, the tone he set, and with the kind of the team first spirit that everybody played with last night. You saw the results, and the Warriors needed a bat.
Talking with Sam Gordon, covers the Warriors for The Chronicle. And Sam, a guy we've been talking about ad nauseum, hell, really, just his entire tenure as a Golden State Warrior is Jonathan Kuminga. And he's such a polarizing player, and he's been playing so well. Best basketball of his career up to this point. We have one of your colleagues, Anthony Slater, on of The Athletic. And yesterday he said basically everyone is, you know, no one's untouchable except for Stephen Curry and probably Draymond Green. But anyone other than that, you know, don't be surprised if their name comes up in trade talks. But just given his recent play and just given his age, his ceiling, Jonathan Kuminga feels pretty untouchable at this point. Is that too far, though, to say he's untouchable in trade talks?
Maybe a little too far, but I would say he's certainly playing himself into that category, right? I mean, and I don't know if there's going to be a trade that's out there, right? I think if you're making a trade that involves Jonathan Kuminga, if you're trading for somebody, you're presuming they're on a pretty sizable salary if they're an impact player. There's going to obviously be other salaries going out. They have, of course, expiring salaries. They have, Andrew Wiggins, who's making, $25, $26 million, that could, in theory, be a centerpiece of any trade, although he's, we know what he brings to the table as an elite defender that fits perfectly within the read and react offense, that can play a little pick and roll, that can do a little bit of everything offensively. He's having a sublime season. So obviously, any kind of trade you're making, I mean, it has to be a trade, I think, that you're making that you feel like is going to definitively catapult you in a title contention. Is that trade out there? Even if Jonathan Kuminga is a part of it, I'm not necessarily sure it is. Meanwhile, what you've seen since the Minnesota game, right? Since the game in Minnesota where Steve Kerr covertly, not so covertly, but covertly addressed his shot selection with the contested mid-range jumpers and basically challenged him. My read on that was basically challenged him, to as consistently play 0.5 basketball as possible, understanding his teammates' spatial awareness. And what have we seen since then? We've seen exactly that, along with, I believe, 24.5 points a game on really efficient shooting, better than 50% from the field, almost 40% from deep, in part because he's taking the right three-pointers. He's not just, not holding the ball and shooting. They're three-pointers that are in rhythm, and he's playing to his strengths, which is getting downhill, getting out in transition, an absolute force at the basket, and then reading the floor brilliantly, understanding where his teammates are, understanding that getting off of it and getting it back, and maybe a second side action, the defense and rotation, that's going to open up driving lanes. That's going to open up cutting lanes. That's going to open up opportunities for him to go baseline and play above the rim. And with his combination of physicality, force, speed, and transition, the defensive upside that I think we're starting to see realized, 6'7", 6'8", versatile, can guard different types of players. When he's engaged, he's certainly a disruptive defender. Steve Kerr, Draymond Green, they're right. This does feel different than maybe just productive offensive spurts that he's had in the past. He's playing, more so within the framework of their read and react offense, within their flow, while still finding his opportunities to do what he does, play to his strengths, get downhill, and get out in transition. So, 22 years old, it takes time. Everybody's developmental track is a little different, and he is a rookie, coming out of G League Ignite and goes to a veteran, experienced team with championship expectations. Obviously, we've seen kind of the ups and downs as he's finding his way, but look at him now. Look at what he brings to the table. I think you have to be getting a real, real, real significant impact player in any kind of trade for Jonathan Kuminga. And is that player out there that's going to swing the title for the Warriors or get them, punch their ticket to conference finals? I'm not necessarily sure it is. So you continue to evaluate, see what he's doing, and then go from there. But he's been spectacular these last 2 weeks, no doubt about it.
I agree 100% with everything you just said, Sam. Sam Gordon from the San Francisco Chronicle covers the Golden State Warriors, does a hell of a job doing that. I agree 100% on everything you said about JK. He's coming into his own. He has a confidence. The team knows it. The coach knows it. And now he's starting to see a lot more minutes here. Whether he's starting or coming off the bench, that to me, Sam, doesn't matter. He needs 30 minutes a game. And if he gets 30 minutes a game, he's going to be productive. Now let's get to Dennis Schroeder, who feels like maybe last night could be a turning point for him. I love the way he started that first quarter. He defended very well. And then, of course, the shot came around here. What do you know about Dennis Schroeder? How are you feeling about Dennis Schroeder and his fit so far with the Warriors?
It certainly hasn't been the cleanest fit so far, right? The statistics, the eye test, the plus minus, all that kind of bears out over the last couple weeks. And to a certain extent, I think the Warriors were braced for that, right? I think in the short term, right, as he was kind of, finding his way offensively, incorporating pick and rolls with maybe not the cleanest pick and roll personnel, figuring out, the nuances of their off-ball actions and stuff and what he needs to to kind of do to keep that flow going. While he was kind of figuring that out, at the very least, he provided a ball handler, right? Another ball handler to get Stephen Curry off the ball so he doesn't have to deal with 94 feet of pressure defense and blitzes every time he's coming off a ball screen and super aggressive, you know, ball denial all the time, right? That in the short term, Curry gets freed up of that as the Warriors are figuring out how to incorporate Dennis Schroeder. Again, not necessarily the cleanest fit, but what we've seen over the past few games is him finding his spots, him finding his jumper, him, you know, knocking down shots. In so many ways, it's a make or miss league. I know it's cliche, but he was getting, you know, relatively clean looks and just missing them. And last night, he comes out in the first quarter, as you mentioned, sets the tone. He knocks down three triples, stepping into his shot with confidence. And then the on-ball defense that he provides, I think that did a great job helping hold Tyrese Maxey to 4 of 13 shooting. You know he's going to compete on that side of the ball. And the energy on the sideline, the energy in the huddles, and then noticing last night, just him sprinting and moving without the ball, you know, in transition and getting down the court faster. The Nets, with Schroeder at the point, played the slowest pace in the NBA. Obviously, as we talked about before, the Warriors want to play fast. Well, he's going to have to be a part of that, whether he's on or off the ball. And, you know, you saw him playing faster. You saw him getting downhill, stepping into his three-point shot with confidence, and just giving you a nice all-around game, kind of showing the total package, what he can provide. Ball handling, a little bit of scoring, some defense, a little bit of facilitation, some shot creation, so on and so forth. And he plays his best game, you know, start to finish, without a doubt, as a Warrior. So still a work in progress, right? Still going to get, you know, take some time getting comfortable. I don't think you're always going to see 22 of 39 three-point shooting, that kind of, you know, that kind of collective night. But he showed what he can do. He showed why the Warriors brought him, for his two-way impact, for his ability to get Steph off the ball, and for his ability to create different shots from the Warriors with his skill set, as he continues to figure out what else goes into the, you know, the read-and-react offense. It was a great showing for him last night, and the kind of game that you think would give, you know, the team collectively some confidence moving forward.
Talking with Sam Gornan, covers the Warriors for the San Francisco Chronicle. And Sam, big talking point of conversation, really kind of started on Christmas, but even back to last summer, Jimmy Butler, just your thoughts on the player and the potential fit if the Golden State Warriors were to trade for him. This is a guy who clearly wants out of Miami. He spoke about it last night, doesn't have any joy when he's on the court in a Miami Heat uniform. Your thoughts on Jimmy Butler, the player, and his potential fit on the Dubs?
Well, Jimmy Butler, the player at his best, at his absolute best, I mean, on any given night, can go to toe-to-toe with anybody in the NBA. You know, he's shown that he can put up that kind of 40-10-10 stat line that you need in a playoff game, in a key playoff game where shots aren't falling for other guys, where you have to grind through possessions, and he's shown to be that kind of engine, you know, the past few years with Miami. Does a little bit of everything, can kind of adapt his game or his style of play to whatever the game needs, can facilitate, can will his way to the free throw line, can guard, all those things. And the Heat have enjoyed a great amount of success the last few years because of it. But I think there's a caveat here when you're considering, you know, trading for Jimmy Butler. One, you see the kind of the situation in Miami and how that's playing out. And that's because, I mean, he's going to need a contract extension, wants max money. And do you want to max a guy that's going to be 36 in September, because that, you know, that's, I mean, unless you're trading real assets and resources and trade chips for somebody that you want to be an expiring contract, he's going to have to come with a, you know, contract extension. That's going to be a lucrative deal for a guy that's going to be entering his age 36 season, that, you know, generally when he's at his best, has the ball in his hands, a kind of slower pace. We know the Warriors want to play fast. So there's, I think, a lot of moving parts that would, you know, be involved with incorporating him in any kind of deal. You have to consider the age. You have to consider the contract. You have to consider, you know, the fit and all those things. And in a vacuum, is he, you know, a talent that would upgrade the Warriors and maybe give them a better chance to compete this season? Yeah, I think certainly, you know, depending on what you're giving up. But is he the kind of player at this stage of his career? You're talking about another, I mean, you'd be trading him for the postseason. You'd be trading him to win a championship. Mm-hmm. Do you think he can get there right now? And do you want to put all your eggs, you know, in the basket of three guys that would be in their mid-30s? That's a lot of risk, you know, with the injury concerns that everybody, you know, that they've all had in their respective careers at this stage. It's just natural that the mileage is going to pile up. So that's something that all those things you have to consider. But that being said, there are a few players in the NBA when they're at their best that can have the impact from the wing position
that he can have with his all-around game. So certainly an interesting development in Miami. Certainly would be an upgrade, in talent in the short term here, but you have to wonder about age and fit and incorporating him on the fly. And if, you know, he in a vacuum, considering what you'd have to give up, puts you in championship contention.
You know what, Sam? I've been saying it all morning. I'm out on him. Mm-hmm. And I agree with what you said about the player on the floor leading the Miami Heat to the finals. I'm not scoffing at that whatsoever. I'm not going to scoff at that. But looking at the player and who he is right now and what the Warriors, as you mentioned, would have to trade for, I'm not sure he makes the Warriors that much better in the Western Conference. Because he's making, what, $47 million this year? So you're going to match those salaries? Now you're talking about giving up maybe an Andrew Wiggins, maybe a GP2, who I know is hurt right now, but maybe even Kuminga. Pat Riley's not going to want anything less than a Kuminga, right? Pat Riley's no dummy.
100%. And, I mean, look at the way Kuminga, he's giving you everything that you would want. Again, I understand that playoff basketball situations, the way you're getting your points is different, but from a production standpoint, from, you know, what you've been wanting to see if you're the Warriors in terms of his growth and development, like, look at the way Jonathan Kuminga's playing right now. Yep. And we know what Andrew Wiggins, you know, how valuable his skill set and what he does is in the playoffs, right? If you're thinking about playoffs, big picture, you know, his contract, what he's able to give you at just $25 million on both ends of the floor. So, yeah, it would be costly. It would be a huge cost. And at this stage of his career, with what has to come on the other side of any potential trade, which would be a lucrative contract extension, you know, you have to wonder if he's worth it, if he moves the needle enough where you're putting yourself in a position to win a title. And I just think at the expense of the depth, it's certainly no guarantee.
All right, the Warriors scored at least 33 points in every single quarter last night, Sam, and we saw a shortened rotation. Is this the way Steve Kerr is going to roll here for the foreseeable future? Maybe roll a 9 deep here. You saw Lindy Waters the third, Moses Moody, who scored in double figures in the last three nights. Buddy Hield is still playing despite the struggles from the three-point line, and Jonathan Kuminga alongside the starters. No Kyle Anderson, no Kevon Looney until garbage time. Well, can we expect to see a shortened rotation here moving forward, maybe going 9 deep under Steve Kerr right now with the Warriors, Sam?
Yeah, I think so. We've seen this look, I think, since the Phoenix game the last few nights. Just trying to establish some continuity and consistency. And, you know, the 11-12 kind of 13-man thing, it worked early in the season and never necessarily thought it was super sustainable long term, because for all the reasons we've seen, for what's played out, injuries happen, losing happens, things change, situations change, and lo and behold, you lose 13 to 17 games. But, you know, the 9-man rotation they've gone through the last three games, you have continuity, guys are in more defined roles, kind of know where their shot's coming from, or what kind of shot diet they're getting. And you know, Kerr was extremely, you know, went out of his way in his post-game press conference last night to emphasize the professionalism of Kyle Anderson and Kevon Looney, veteran players that are still more than capable of contributing at a high level in their respective roles, right? We understand how valuable Kyle Anderson was to the Timberwolves just last year. And Looney was the starting center, you know, for a considerable period of time this season and had been playing a big role coming off the bench. So this only, you know, this is working and this is being established because you're having veteran players, you know, stepping into leadership roles, being professional, kind of putting their pride to the side and doing what's best for the team right now, which is, again, a tighter rotation, defined minutes, more defined roles, more defined shot diets, and you know, the chance to develop some continuity. So, yeah, I expect it to be this way moving forward. Of course, you have Brandon Podziemski, you know, coming back. Gary Payton, the second coming back, is not going to be easy to rearrange those minutes. I think Moses Moody certainly played his way, you know, after the knee injury into a more consistent role with his shot making, with the rhythm he's played on the offensive side of the ball. And conversely, you have Buddy Hield, you know, slumping, right? He made a three last night, but there's been a pretty, you know, significant extended slump. So maybe there's a switch there. I presume that Brandon Podziemski still going to be in the rotation and then kind of spot minutes beyond that top nine. So still a lot to, you know, a lot for Steve Kerr to figure out. But the fact that, you know, you're looking at a 9-man rotation, I think, is going to make for some continuity moving forward and a better sample size, you know, the next few weeks as the trade deadline, as we approach the February 6th trade deadline, just, you know, to see what they have and to see what they might want to do if there is anything that emerges in the next few weeks.
Before we let you go, we got to figure out a day to watch a fight together. Usyk Fury was a great heavyweight fight. I thought Fury lost. No controversy whatsoever. Usyk was putting them hands on him, letting out left at will. But there's some big-time fights. Benavidez or Morrell. I don't know what Tank Davis is doing right now. He needs to fight somebody. Teofimo Lopez, he needs to fight somebody. Jared Ennis, he needs a fight to fight you for crying out loud. But we have to pick a day and watch a big-time prize fight together, Sam, all right?
Oh, yeah. But it'll happen for sure, Vontae. It's not an if, it's a when. So I can't wait for it. We'll make it happen and looking forward to the boxing calendar and the basketball calendar.
Absolutely.
In 2025 and beyond.
We got a lot of hoops. A lot of hoops to play.
Yep.
A lot of boxing fights, all that stuff. Sam Gordon, read his stuff at the Chronicle. Really good at what he does. I'll see you at Chase Center tomorrow night, brother.
Appreciate you guys. Have a great Friday and talk to you tomorrow. Yep. Take care.
Absolutely. Thanks, Sam. Sam Gordon here on the River Islands guest line. He was on fire. I guess, look at these.